Welcome to the Dr. Aaron Show. This is a top spiritual awakening and new thought ancient wisdom podcast to teach you how to become your highest self, unleash your spiritual superpowers, discover your soul's purpose, and manifest your dreams. Hi, I'm Dr. Aaron, Dr. Divinity, and I'm committed to bringing you the best manifesting and coaching tips, spiritual advice, trauma healing, and metaphysical recovery secrets. I'm here to help you reprogram your subconscious mind, monetize your spiritual gifts, and love your life. I want you to know that I've been exactly where you are, and I believe in you. Together, we're awakening the world. Hello and welcome, superstar. I'm super excited to take you on the journey of sharing my heart with you today about my morning spiritual practice to awaken your power. And the goal of this podcast is really to share my journey of my daily spiritual practice with you, and hopefully have you have a better picture of what is your truth and what you are committed to for yourself, for your own discipline, for you to live your own divine life. So I'd love to start with a quote from Ram Dass, one of my mentors from the other side. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. And there's nothing like turning on the miracle of listening through a spiritual practice. So let's begin. I want to begin by sharing some of my practice. As some of you guys know, I've been doing a spiritual practice for about 27 years. I had my full-term stillborn almost 30 years ago. My son, who is 29, and I began to meditate around the time he was 2 years old. So that's when I consider that I started my spiritual practice. And let me tell you, it has been an incredible journey. I would say it's been the most precious part of my entire life has been my spiritual practice. I have experienced complete miracles, manifesting, going into realms and dimensions and channeling and experiencing so many things. I don't even know, it would be books and books of content. But when I began my spiritual practice, I had no guides. I had no mentors. I had no classes. What I had was the book by Deepak Chopra, The Seven Habits. And basically, he said to meditate for 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening. And I was in so much pain, so much suffering from all the trauma and all the dysfunction in my life. And I didn't know where to go or what to do. I had no money to heal thyself. I couldn't afford a therapist. I couldn't even really even afford to go to any classes. But what I knew was that I could do this thing called meditation because I'd heard about it. And I know that all the great, you know, teachers had talked about meditating. So I thought, well, at least I can try and do this. So I began, and it was probably one of the hardest things I'd ever done. I had a complete monkey mind. My mind was going all directions. I could barely do it for 5 minutes. It was really challenging. But as I've told in other stories, that over time, I began to quiet my mind. I began to witness my thoughts. I began to go into meditation and kind of want to solve a problem in my life. And when I came out of meditation, I would start to have answers or my problems would disappear. And over time, I began to really build the muscle of having my inner guide and guides within me take me on this incredible journey. So over time, I began to quiet the mind. I began to have, you know, more things manifest that I wanted in my life. I began to really identify more with my spiritual nature, really feeling like I was more, you know, just in this world, but not of this world. I began to realize there was dimensions way beyond everything that I had been programmed in this world. So I wanted to share with you today, not as much about my journey, because I have done other podcasts on that and I will do more podcasts on that, but I wanted to actually share with you my new morning ritual, my new spiritual practice. And I want to disclose that my practice has dramatically shifted over the years. There has been times when I've meditated for 6+ hours a day. There's been times when I have not meditated at all. It has been a huge journey and a flux and flow of my spiritual practice over the 27 years. And I'm here to say and witness from the depths of my heart to you that my life and my workability in my life and my success in my life is always equal to how powerful my spiritual practice is. And I'll expand on this. So a couple years back, my spiritual practice was probably the worst it had been in the entire journey. In fact, I wasn't meditating and I was getting so into my business that my world began to fall apart. Our community began to have problems. I just wasn't able to sustain the level of the energetics that it would take to really have it all completely thrive. So I went through what I would consider the dark night of the soul kind of a thing, right? And as I have fluctuated in my spiritual practice, it has really shown through in all areas of my life. So right now, I am doing about 3 to 5 hours of practice a day, which may not be sustainable. I probably won't do that over the long term. But what I am here to say is that if I could say there was a magic sweet spot for people, I would say a minimum of 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening. If you're somebody who wants to be a spiritual teacher or a spiritual coach, I would highly recommend what is the true essence of what is tithing, which is 10% of your day, which means it would be 2.5 hours of your day, could be all at one point in time in the morning, or it could be over the course of a few sessions in the day. So again, if you're somebody that just wants to have a little bit more stability in your mental health, you know, then I'd recommend 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening. If you're somebody who wants to be a spiritual teacher and you want to actually turn on what we would call your cities, your superpowers, and begin to actually be a teacher, be a spiritual coach, I would say that 10% of your day would be a standard for somebody like that. That's actually what tithing is. Tithing is one of the most misunderstood concepts in the religious and spiritual world. Tithing, a lot of times people think that you need to give 10% of your income, and that is can be fine, can be great, can be beautiful for people if that works for them. But the true essence of tithing is giving 10% of your time, your efforts, your energy to your spiritual nature. And if you were to give 2.5 hours per day, you would have exponential gifts that would come back to your life through your spiritual practice. So right now, I'm making up for some lost time. Let's just put it that way. So my practice has been anywhere from 1 hour to 6 hours a day over the last little bit. I would say on average, I would say 3 to 5 hours right now. Again, my ideal would be to, you know, go deep, deep into it and then have it be consistent for a minimum of 10% of the day. Okay, so let's get more into this. So no matter if you're somebody who's never meditated before, or you're a very advanced meditator, my goal again today is to give you a bigger picture of a spiritual practice of what I really have dived into. And as many of you guys know, I've been on a massive spiritual journey for decades now. So I have every year I kind of dive more and more into different processes and practices. I've gone into shamanism from a natural perspective, not from a medicine perspective. I have my 9th rites in shamanism. I got trained in Kundalini. I've been trained, of course, as a practitioner and a metaphysical minister and a doctor of divinity. I have gone deeply, deeply into many of the religions, not joining the religions, but diving into their practices. I also have had a lot of spiritual guides over the years through my deep, deep prayer meditation. And I've been trained highly by the Tibetan monks of all things through the spiritual realm. I've also had many deities guide me and a bunch of things. And so I want to just deliver to you today some of the bigger picture of having a spiritual practice, in particular, morning spiritual practice to awaken your power. Okay, so let's take a deep breath together. Taking a deep breath in. Just getting grounded in that miracle presence, the divine presence within. In this divine moment, I recognize this true divine essence, this true first cause of all of life, the source, divine, God source within. I recognize this one thing has created all of life, and it outpictures in the center point of all of life, through every cell, through every molecule, through the entire universe. I recognize this one source is creating all of life through this relative field, through this relative universe. And I recognize all of my life and all of life comes from this divine source. All the good things, all the bad things, all the scarcity, all the abundance, all the heaven, all the hell, all the suffering, all the grace, all of life, the beautiful things, the ugly things, the war, the concrete jungle, the mysticism, the rainbows, the butterflies. I recognize it's all from this divine source. And in this, I recognize that my true identity is the I am, this true source that is one with God's source within, that is one with all of it. It actually is the true identity, the true, purest aspect of who I am. And in this, I recognize right here and right now the revelation that the extent to which I steep myself in that divine presence, the extent to which I have a powerful spiritual practice, that I realize my true identity, the true source, and I go into that unification within, is the extent to which my life really, truly correlates in a serendipitous way, realizing that I'm one with all of life, realizing my divinehood and not my dividedhood, realizing that I am in that essence a spiritual being and not a human being, but rather experiencing myself being a human being. I recognize that I'm not this body, I'm not these thoughts, I'm not these beliefs, I am the creator of those. And in this, I declare a powerful spiritual practice to truly have a revelation of realizing how important it is, knowing for me, it is first. It is the most important thing of my life. And so in this, I declare for my life a profound spiritual practice to turn on my superpowers, to be able to live a life of love, of expression, of connection, and being able to be a conduit to bring truth to this world as the ultimate way of being the embodiment of it. And so I simply release, I let go in total gratitude, so much gratitude for the beloved divine within. I release, knowing it is done, as together we say, and so it is. Okay, so let's dive into this. So just to kind of go through all the different realms of a daily spiritual practice. So in our school, in spiritual psychology school and Soul Society community, we teach, you know, understand the power of mind. We teach the science of mind and new thought movement. We teach the metaphysics of all religions and philosophies. We also teach and unify in with the sciences and unified physics and really the psychology of the soul. This is spiritual psychology. So we teach everything from visioning, intuition, affirmations, understanding how to do heart rate variability, nervous system regulation, going into everything from silent meditation to all different types of meditation, kundalini, breathwork, mudras, mantras, kriyas, pranayama, channeling, zero point field, Taurus field, spiritually awakening, manifesting, you know, all of these things. So I wanted to say, why, you know, why have a spiritual practice? What is a spiritual practice? And what is the best spiritual practice for you? Okay. So again, over the years, for me, I began with silent meditation, which I had no idea that this was so hard. Like barely anybody does silent meditations. Most people are on apps and they're doing guided meditations all the time, which is great. But at some point in time, we need to actually get in the currency of the high vibration. And for me, the issue with guided meditations is in general, it is somebody who, you know, most likely you speak English and you're being guided by somebody that speaks English. And first of all, the English language is not in the correct currency. in the correct vibrancy. It is actually, this is a very advanced conversation, which we'll get into in another podcast, but it is not in correct frequency. And so we have a few goals when we're doing a daily spiritual practice. One is, of course, to regulate the nervous system, right? Another is to turn on our highest vibration, which means getting our arc line around our head actually to get it really in sync with the universe. We're doing our spiritual practice to clear our aura, to feel amazing, right? We're here energizing our chakras to really feel the highest energetics and to turn on our intuition and to be able to you know, manifest what we want out of life and to really awaken the power within, right? We're here to know the truth. That's the point of having daily spiritual practice. So what do I do? Well, right now I have a few goals in the morning. I wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning, sometimes earlier. Every once in a while, I'll naturally wake up at 3:33. Literally this morning, I woke up and you know, I have a voice and voices within from higher self. And it said, look at the clock, you know, and I looked at my phone and it said 3:33, right? So I took a screenshot of it just to like say I'm not going crazy, right? And typically right now I get up at 4 a.m. You don't have to do that. You can wake up at your typical time, say 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever that is, and do it then. The reason why I am waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning is because it's called sadhana. And if you're in, you know, a real deep practitioner practice, you typically want to work with the universe. And the universe at that point in time, the energetics of the universe, the way that the consciousness is first of all, most people are asleep at that point in time. So if you go outside, it's very calm. The energy's calm. There's not as many cars, you know, driving, hopefully, maybe not any if you're in some place. And the way the sun is hitting the earth at that point in time, there's a particular power that comes through. So it's said that the veil is very thin, you know, 3 a.m. to about 5 a.m. There's a real opening of the veil. So when you're communicating with the universe, because you are the universe, right? Every single one of your mitochondria, everything in every cell is actually one with the universe. And so you're really getting your energetics to communicate and also putting your manifestations and your intentions and really opening up the field, right? So as hard as it is to wake up at 4 a.m. sometimes, the benefits and the ecstasy that comes out of my sadhana and turning on all faculties is way outweighs the difficultness of waking up at 4 a.m. You know, at first, when you first do it, it might be hard for, say, the first, you know, 30 days or 2 weeks or something like that. But once you start turning on the literally ecstasy and bliss, we call it the nectar, then you don't mind waking up. So a lot of people will wake up and they take ice cold showers and then they come into their sauna. And that sounds like, oh my gosh, it sounds like living hell. But what happens is they end up feeling so good all the time that the amount of struggle it is to go through those walls to get out of bed and take that ice cold shower is worth it. Okay. So my invitation for you is to think about what is something that you're willing to do that's going to have you do it consistent. Okay. One of the reasons why my practice got really bad over the years is because I didn't do it in the morning. In fact, I actually preferred to always do it late at night or in the afternoon. I didn't really like doing it in the morning. It just was, I don't know, my intuition and things just turned on a lot more in the evening. But what happened over time, as I got busier in my business, I got more busy and those opportunities to do my spiritual practice were less and less. I could be busy all the time and it was really hard to turn it off and then go into my spiritual practice. So what I found is the only way to be consistent in my practice is to do it way before the working hours. So again, you're going to find this, people who work out will say the exact same thing. Majority of people who are successful and they like to work out or do a spiritual practice, the majority of all of them will do it first thing in the morning because life happens. Okay. So my invitation is just think about what time in the day can you be consistent? And maybe that's just 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening, and you can commit to that. So I'd like you to take a journal and think about, you know, what that is and then watch it, you know, do your practice and then go, okay, I was inconsistent at this point in time. When is the time in my life, in my day, that I can do it, that I can be super consistent, okay? Because consistency is very important because you're building the muscle of habits and our entire system is, we're habitual beings. the entire way the universe is works. That's why it says God rested on the seventh day, is because everything's automated. And once you do things over and over again, then it's set in motion. That's why your negative patterns also become habits as well. You can put good patterns in, or you can put negative patterns in. The choice is yours. Okay. So when are you going to do it? That's up to you. My suggestion, if you're a spiritual leader and you want to be a profound, world-renowned spiritual leader, my suggestion would be to get up at 4 a.m. or 3:30 a.m. rather, would be even better, okay? If you're somebody who is just trying to keep your mental health in order and have more peace in your life, then I would say do it at a time that works for you, a minimum of 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening, okay? So next is, what is the regime, okay? So in say Kundalini, you don't have to be religious to do Kundalini, but in Kundalini, there are kind of some core things that Kundalini people do. They do what's called a kriya. So that means that they're having some type of a physical aspect to kind of deal with the body and wake the body up, if you will. Kriyas include mudras, which are kind of different things that you do with your fingers, and mantras and pranayama and things like that. You don't need to know what all that is, but basically what I do for my spiritual practice is I've got to deal with the body in order to get into that sacred space. So what I found over the years is doing silent meditation is imperative, but sometimes it's hard to get into silent meditation, right? So how I get there is I've got to deal with the body. And there's a few ways to deal with the body and get it into that space. So one way of doing it is what we call heart rate variability. And heart rate variability is a very simple technique. You can literally download, there's a free app called Breathing, or you can message me across social media and I'll send you it, called Breathing. And all it is a sound that goes in and out. And what it's doing is it's consistently having you take deep breaths up and down consistently, exactly consistently. And you can do it for 5, 11 minutes, 22 minutes, whatever you want. And if you breathe consistently, what happens is, say a place like Heart Math, it's a scientifically based, you know, place that has taken some of those work that we've done spiritually for eons and scientifically took a look at it and see what it does to the body. Well, if you regulate the breath consistently, you will regulate the nervous system and you will connect the heart with the mind, if you will, the brain. And when those two get in sync, then your neurological system gets in sync. And when your neurological system gets in sync, you don't have as much monkey mind, or your thoughts don't go all over the place as much, right? You are an energetic beam. And if you're, think about your energy, if it's fluctuating all over and you've got thought forms go everywhere and you think, oh my gosh, I have so much to do today. How do I have time to do a meditation? You know, all that. We want to calm that down. We want to get, you know, really, you're not going to get rid of the thought forms in the beginning, but you're going to be able to manage them. And so doing a heart rate variability is imperative. Or the other way that I can hack it even faster than doing a heart rate variability is what I call pranayama. Not I call, but it is called pranayama. Okay. It's called breath work. And what you can do is you can do a 3 to an 11 minute intense breath work session. So I use what's called breath of fire, and I will do different processes and multiple of them to get my body and my everything in sync. Okay. So if it's kind of like panting through your nose. So imagine a dog, let's go, right? A dog pants. Imagine panting, but you go through your nose. You go just through your nose, not too fast, and you pant. This is called breath of fire. You can also find it. I'll be doing a bunch of mini little practices on my YouTube channel. You can find me over on YouTube at Dr. Aaron. And breath of fire is a very simple way of kind of resetting the body and getting all of the body oxygenated, and it'll actually reset your whole body. So I do 3 minutes of, say, breath of fire. And if you're brand new at it, you can just put your hands down your lap and sit with your spine erect and sit in meditation position, and then breathe through your nose, breath of fire, like a panting dog. Put the timer on for 3 minutes and start going. Okay. So I do a whole section of these, everything from we do a lot of different positions, and then you keep doing pranayama. There's a bunch of different pranayamas. Okay. So you can begin to Google breath work. You can begin to go over to my YouTube, and you can also come into our membership. And I teach a lot of this inside of our community. Okay. So I'm going to do, if I'm doing, you know, say I'm doing an hour worth of my spiritual practice. Ideally, I kind of like to go 20, 20, 20. I like to break it up into thirds. 20% of it, I'm going to do breath work and really deal with the body. 20% of it, I'm going to do more of mantras and meditations, more kind of really directing the energy. And then for 20 of it, I'm going to go into a silent meditation, and I may even begin to channel. Okay. So if you don't know what channeling is, there's all different types of channeling. Some would just say that you just channel your purest, you know, self, or you channel messages from the universe, the intelligence of the universe, or you may channel actual deities, other people from their side. Depends on the level of channeling, and people have different language and beliefs around it. Okay. So if I'm doing an hour of practice, I want to do 20 minutes of heavy breath work and even moving the body in different kriyas, different regular yogas. And then 20 minutes, I'm going to do more of meditation, guided meditation, not from a perspective of someone talking, but from a meditation of a mantra. Okay. So this consists of different things. For example, I may have, I do a very advanced process called Siddharshan. And if you're new to doing breath work, I don't recommend doing it for more than like 5 minutes. I do it for 30 minutes to an hour. Generally about 31 minutes is what is you're supposed to do. And this is considered the highest kriya in Kundalini yoga. And this is actually, I'm actually having my right thumb over my right nose, my nostril, and I'm breathing in through the left nose, the left nostril, and then I'm holding it. And I'm holding it while I am actually pumping my stomach, doing a mantra, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru. And I'm doing this 16 times. And then I'm putting my pinky over my left nostril, and I'm exhaling out through my right nostril. And then I am putting my right thumb over my right nostril and inhaling through the left nostril. And you might be like, what is she talking about? This is getting too confusing, okay? You don't need to know all this. Siddharshan is one of the things, but I do many, many different meditations. Again, so I do 20 minutes of, say, more physical yoga or heavy, heavy breath work. The second 20 minutes, I will do more of a guided meditation. The reason why, say, I do Wahe Guru, okay, it's not to some guru of some man in the sky. Wahe Guru is actually, Wahe Guru means like this wow energy that transcends the dark to the light. You are the guru. The guru is the energy and the divine within me. It's not some, you know, deity. It's not some man in the sky. It is a mantra. And these mantras are actually energetically in alignment. The language is actually the purest language. So English is actually an insane language because it's out of sync. It's the words do not add up to what the words mean from a vibrational standpoint. Okay. So there are certain languages that are the core languages on this planet that actually were vibrationally exactly with whatever the word is saying, and the intention of the word is vibrationally what the actual sound of the word is. Okay. So this is a very kind of advanced teaching, I guess you could say, but I never like to do things halfway. Okay. So what's the point of this? The point is, if you are doing a 20-minute spiritual practice, then I would recommend 20 minutes of a heart rate variability, or you could do a little bit of breath work, 5 minutes of breath work, 5 minutes of doing a guided meditation, and doing 5 to 10 minutes of a silent meditation. Okay. So you're going to break it up exactly the same, a thirds or whatever it is that you want to do. Okay. If you're doing a longer 10% of your day, 2.5 hours, you're going to break it up into, you know, 2 1-hour sections and then a half an hour section. Okay. And again, so for me, if I got up at 4 a.m., then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get a little, you know, set up, and then I'm going to start my practice, and I'm going to schedule it an hour at a time. And the first 20 minutes, again, I'm going to do the physical stuff. I mean, and the heavy breath work. And the second 20 minutes, I'm going to do a guided meditation with a mantra. And then the third, I'm going to do silent meditation and channeling. Okay. There's so many things you can do for the breath work. Let me just say that the breath work, I get so naturally high. It's amazing. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't, you know, do anything. And I always say to people, it's like, I get more high in a good way off of breath work and my spiritual practice than any cocktail or anything. And, you know, I've never had an addiction to drugs or alcohol. I just, over time doing my spiritual work, I just didn't need it anymore. I didn't want it anymore. I wanted the purity. And I would find that when I would drink, or, you know, I just didn't, it would disrupt my spiritual direct, you know, experience. Okay. So again, the goal, what's the goal of this? The goal is for me is to feel better. The goal for me is to awaken to my divine power. The goal for me is to energize all my chakras, align them all. My goal is to have an aura. The aura body goes out, say 9 feet or whatever. It could be smaller. It could be way larger. And the truth is that for me, I'm getting all my energetics to be one with the universe. That's my goal with my spiritual practice. My goal with my spiritual practice is to turn on all my superpowers and be able to have just the serendipity of walking through life and having everything be magical. The goal for me is being able to turn on my intuition. The goal for me is to know my immortality and my eternal nature right here, right now. The goal for me is to be in commune with all the light beings across the galaxy. The goal for me is enlightenment. The goal is total revelation. Okay. And the thing that's so amazing about it is that there's a reason why it's called the daily spiritual practice, because I have experienced enlightenment. I've experienced massive revelation. I've experienced and know my immortality. But if I don't do my spiritual practice every day, it goes away. That's the most humbling and greatest blessing of this work. It demands us to keep doing it. It demands us. And again, I would say that my life is as magical and as powerful, as good as my spiritual practices. So there's a direct correlation to all of it. So for you, I would just take a look at, you know, who are you? What do you want to be? Do you want to be your problems? Do you want to keep having the same vicious cycles going over and over? Do you want to, you know, be stressed out all the time? Do you want to be suffering? Literally, if I don't do my practice, I literally can feel like I'm coming out of my skin. Okay. So this is about manifesting the highest version of yourself. This is about you being able to tap into the Taurus field within the center of your essence and being able to, you know, clear out the subconscious mind and be able to do everything. Your spiritual practice is not, you know, is not going to take the place of doing your deep trauma work and doing that deep, deep work that we do in the school. Okay. I always say that if there's a big vat of a big tub of water and it's all muddy and dirty and stuff, you know, in order to clean that water out, we have to first kind of get all the big chunks of the gunk out of it. And that's the trauma work. That's the deep, deep work that we do in the school. But once you've cleaned out all the big, you know, parts of the dirt and stuff, in order to really filter the water and get it really, really clear, you got to do this precision work in your spiritual practice. Okay. So again, doing your breath work, doing your mantras. Mantras are important because they are in a vibrational sync and they're going to direct the energy to purify the soul, to purify the aura, to purify the arc line. There's also points on your body, like I'm doing this a couple meditations right now that I'm teaching in the school as well, that where you hold your hands in certain mudras, you hold your thumbs over your pinkies and you put your three fingers out on your, you know, knees, and you're meditating to Satanama, which are the sounds of the universe, and you're turning on these different points in your head, in your brain, in your skull of your brain, and you're literally turning on these channels that are communicating with the cosmos. You know, this is like, it's just so good and so yummy and so good. So whether you are doing kriyas or whether you're doing traditional yoga or whether you're doing guided meditations or whether you're doing, you know, any of these things, the truth is you got to find your own jam, but you need to have discipline. And oftentimes people won't do their spiritual practice because they don't have discipline enough. So that's why I highly recommend for you to come into our community and learn some of these techniques and be able to implement them into your life and have a support group and be able to really take your life to the next level. I have teachers, I have guides, I have people that I go to, I have spiritual centers I work with as well. And so it's imperative for us to know how important our daily spiritual practice is, okay? And then of course, at the end of my spiritual practice and in my silent meditation is where I naturally go into visioning. The visions come in. It's different than what, you know, having a vision board is. We do it the opposite. We don't come from the ego mind to create the visions of our life. We wait for the vision to come in from our higher self. And this is done through the beautiful display of connecting with your pure self, with your divine self. And so let's just begin or end with a benediction, taking a deep breath in. Do another spiritual mind treatment. I recognize there is a divine, divine calling. I know the extent to which I suffer is my soul, my spirit calling me to say, come home. And I know for the people who are really spiritual and the people that really have big callings suffer even more than others because we are not fulfilled out here in the traditional way of life. There's something in us that knows that there is a life beyond our wildest dreams waiting for us within the depths of our own soul. And so I say yes to you awakening your power within. I say yes to you having a powerful spiritual practice. I say yes to you clearing your aura and turning on your intuition, your superpowers to literally awaken the chakras and align with the entire universe so that you're constantly in the bliss state, so that you turn on even that ability to purr like a cat inside of you, your ability to have this machine of this incredible, beautiful, energetic vibration machine of frequency called you inside of this temple, this divine, incredible temple, the most beautiful, advanced temple in the entire universe, this sacred body temple that does miracles, that can do miracles if we give it the right nurturing, the right energy. And I know that within all matter of the entire universe, if you were to take a look and just go into one square inch of the empty space, there is more energy in one square inch of empty space than all the matter in the entire universe. And that's what we tap into through our spiritual practice. That's what we tap into. That's what we tap into. And so I'm just saying yes, yes, yes to a powerful spiritual practice. And in this, I say, let it be, as together we say, and so it is. And so it is. Okay. So if you're somebody who's ready to take your spiritual practice to the next level and get trained in all this work, I highly recommend for you to come into the school. All the links are below. If you are here, please subscribe to the podcast, or if you're seeing this on YouTube, please share this out. Please give us a review. 5-star review would be amazing. There's also some free gifts for you below, the Manifesting Challenge and the 40 Meditations Through Awakening book and all that good stuff. I'm sending you so much love. May you live your truth. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Aaron Show. If you're ready to transform your life, discover your soul's purpose, and manifest your dreams, go to draaron.tv. Join me in my life-changing events, membership, or certification. If you're ready to become a certified coach and get trained in metaphysics of mind, manifestation, and the creative process, subconscious reprogramming, trauma recovery healing, spiritual psychology, universal law, and much more, go to draerin.tv. If you're receiving value from the show, I would love it if you would share it with a friend and give it a 5-star review. Have a beautiful day, and may you live your truth.